Welcome to episode 9 of the Hook podcast by Tuzzy Bros Fishing. This episode, we've got Bill Malonis from Navico Australia. So sit back and enjoy the episode.
We're with only two of us on the boat. Mayhem on just one more.
Oh, what a fish.
All right, so welcome to the Hook podcast, mate.
Thank you.
So obviously the boat shows and everything have sort of wound down a little bit now, so you've got a bit of time to regroup and regather.
Not quite. I've got one more to go, and that's this weekend.
Okay, where's that one?
In Adelaide. So I'm sitting in the hotel room at the moment, working on a presentation for tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. So if anybody's at the Adelaide 4x4 show, they can come down and see the presentation.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so should be good.
Oh, cool. So for everyone that doesn't know Bill's our Navico rep here in Victoria. He's our go-to guy, especially for us. Obviously deals with Simrad and Lowrance is his big two go-to. Obviously for those that follow us on Cuzzy Bros Fishing, we're big advocates for Simrad, and Bill helped set us up there. And since there, we've sort of gotten to know each other a hell of a lot, and I'd class Bill as a good mate. So Bill's helped us out with sounder setup. So I suppose one of the big questions, mate, is when people are looking at buying their electronics, you know, it's a lot of money. So what's some of the things that, you know, someone that's new to the sport should be looking for and what they should keep their eye out for?
Okay, so the biggest thing is that they've got to find out what they do, what their fishing style is, right? So if you're an offshore fisherman and you're chasing your pelagics like we do in that regard, and it's just pelagics that you're going for, right? Suggestion would be that you go for a high wide transducer, right? 25 degrees gives you a really good coverage down to about 250 meters, right? That'll give you everything for your marlin, your tuna, all your pelagic species that, you know, top water basically. Then you ask the question, you know, if they're not top water fishermen, are they, you know, bottom fishing, and in what depth, right? So then if they're fishing in that 400 to 500 meter mark and going for, you know, for the Tasmanians, for that stripy trumpeter or blue eye, you know, species like that, then it's a low frequency transducer that they need to get down to that kind of depth and give them the clarity that they need. So you've got to ask the questions to begin with. So any good salesperson will sit there and ask where you're fishing, what you're doing. Are you fishing in 25 meters of water, or are you fishing in 200 meters of water? You know, they'll ask those kind of questions just to get them to give you the feedback, then to put them into the right unit, because it all comes down to basically one thing. The units are all great. It's just the transducer is probably the most critical part that you need to get in that regard.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, we went, I won't say overboard because you can never go overboard, but we really upgunned our stuff. You know, we're running a high wide and a low chirp transducer for the high wide and chirp for the low as well. Obviously, we put in 2 head units. I don't know whether I'd do that again. That's just a personal thing. I think I'd change things a little bit, but what do you, you know, the, you always try to talk me into autopilot, and I've got to be honest, I was reluctant. I mean, let's be honest, you know.
Hey, mate, I said it to you. I said it'd be one of the best things you'll ever put in there.
And I have to agree, mate. The autopilot has been awesome. I don't even drive my big fancy boat anymore. I just cruise around on autopilot everywhere.
Look, it's a tool, and it's a great tool. Once you get the autopilot, it's similar to cruise control in your car. You set it, you forget it, and away you go. So it's just one of those things that once you've got it on there and once you utilize it, then you realize how beneficial it's going to be at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, like I said, I love it. It is awesome. So yeah, it's come in handy. The other thing, I mean, I've spoken about it in our videos and a few other things, that we're getting to know your electronics. You've got to be familiar with your electronics.
Oh, and it doesn't matter whose electronics it is, right? Yeah, all right. I do Lowrance, Simrad, B&G, there's JL Audio and CMAP and everything else. But as a salesman in that regard, it doesn't matter what unit you've got. It could be the opposition's unit, but you've got to learn how it works. Once you do that and you master it, then you're home and hosed. It's easy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've got screenshots of Marlin. We've got screenshots of Shark. We've got screenshots of Tuna. They've all got their own really definite marks and their characteristics, and especially the way they show up on our sounder. And that's just through obviously using it and catching fish that we're marking, so we know what they are, but having the familiarity with the head unit.
Yeah, exactly right. So don't get me wrong, I've played with all sorts of different units. And yes, personally, I find mine, or the product that I sell, is the easiest out there in the market. It's easy to use. I mean, if you can use your iPhone, you can use one of our screens. It's simple.
Yeah. While we're on that, is there anything cool coming out? Anything we should know about? Is there anything fancy and sexy that's coming out, shiny, that I probably need?
At the moment, not this year, but middle of next year, yes, there will be.
You're killing me here. Come on.
Sorry. That's as far as I can go.
All right. Okay.
I wish I could get in there a bit more, but yeah, at the moment we are about to release a NSO unit, which is the real big offshore glass bridge stuff that, you know, for 40 and 50 foot boats and bigger. But as the recreational side of it, no, there's no change. And saying that, our NSS Evo 3s are just brilliant in that regard. They're bulletproof. They do the job. Sorry to say, but I wouldn't change mine, I can tell you now.
Nah, and neither would I, mate. Our Evo 3 is awesome. We got a 16 mounted right in the helm area there, and it is awesome. The 2009, it's good as well, but it is very much a fish finder. And I think if I was going to change something, I'd probably put in another Evo 3, a bit smaller, just because it gives you some more options.
Yeah. So similar to what I've done with mine. So I've got the 16 in the dash, as you're aware, and I've got the 12 sitting on the dash, and it's a brilliant combination between those two units. So,
yeah, nice, mate. So obviously, how is the boat going, mate? Where are we at?
I'd love to say that I've been using the boat, but being overseas for 5 weeks, so yeah,
you've been over there fishing, mate. Let's clarify that for everyone. Not doing any work or anything like that. So you can't give me the sad sob story.
No, no, it was a family holiday between the wife and I, and I've come back, and I still haven't taken the cover off, which is annoying me. But as soon as I finish from Adelaide Sunday night, I'll fly home, and I think first thing Monday morning, the cover's coming off, and I'll be getting it ready for a couple of snapper trips out in Port Phillip Bay.
You want to go catch some burley, eh?
Yeah, some red carp, mate, so it'll be right.
Yeah, fair enough.
You did ask me about fishing, and I should... Sorry, on Monday, I flew into Adelaide. There's a guy that was having a few issues with his autopilot, didn't know how to commission it, didn't actually read the book, but went out there late in the afternoon, probably about 5 o'clock. I think it took me all of 10 minutes to commission his autopilot and get it all sorted, and then tweak the radar that he had on it as well. As I said, it took me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Showed him how the autopilot worked, and I said, look, you know, take us out to one of your spots, which he did. Basically anchored up. What did we get? First fish was a trevally, small one. I said, is there whiting in the area? We're in South Australia. He goes, yep, of course. And I said, all right. I re-rigged the way I rig up, just a long leader, basically. Filleted the trevally, got the first 6 whiting in before he decided to change his rig and get a couple himself. So it wasn't too bad. So that, I mean, for the hour that we were out there, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, awesome, mate. So I think that's one of the things when you're buying new electronics and stuff like that, you need to speak to the guys that are using it and are fishermen, because they've worked things out and they know how to use stuff and they can point you in the right direction. So if you are looking or you're on the market for electronics, make sure you speak to the right people before you drop some good money on those things.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of guys that are knowledgeable. But you've got to make sure that, I mean, asking mates is probably the wrong thing to do. Ask the experts, you know, at boat shows and stuff like that. And I'm not talking the guys that sell the boats. I'm talking the guys that are actually manning the stands. Mate, I've been doing boat shows now for too long to remember. I won't even go into the figure. It's way too many. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, we have got the knowledge and we do know what we're talking about. So yeah, just talk, you know, talk to the experts and make sure that you get the right information.
Yeah, 100%, mate. The other thing that I really like about you guys is the after sales service and stuff like that. I mean, we were having a couple of issues with ours a long time back now towards Christmas, and the guys from Simrad were speaking to us on Christmas Day and stuff. I mean, that's, you don't get that sort of service anywhere else. Not that I'm tracking anyway.
Yeah, look, we do try and cover the phones and everything else in that regard as best as we can. I think we do it better than everybody else, but, you know, that's just a personal thing. And yeah, we do have staff all around the world and they do get on the phones and do help out, which is great.
So what's coming up in the future, mate? What are the plans?
Well, we're just about to release, and I'll give you the heads up, a Halo 20 and a 20 Plus.
Yep.
So they'll basically replace the 3G and 4G radars that we've got at the moment. So the 20 will be similar to the 4G radar, limited features and bits and pieces. But when you get into the Halo 20, that'll give you velocity track. So you'll be able to see vessels actually approaching you, vessels that are stationary and vessels that are actually going away from you. So that's part of that new system that we've got. So that's something new that should be out by the end of this year.
Yeah, awesome. What about fishing wise? What are the trips planned, mate? Obviously, when you get back from Adelaide, I know you're going to go chase the red carp, but I mean,
yeah, well, like, it all hinges on what the weather's like. And if I get some good days, I'll be heading out either through the Rip and chasing some bluefin out the front. If it's not there, it'll be, you know, Western Port and going out either the eastern or the western entrance and still trying to find those tuna. But then again, if we're lucky enough, we might be able to score some tuna and some kingfish if they're around early enough. So, yeah, plans are to get out there. It's just a matter of timing, mate.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard too much on the bluefin lately. It sort of died off since sort of early this month.
No, there's been a couple of fish that I've heard of down towards Torquay. They're not great big fish, like, you know, like what you caught, what, about a month ago?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're reasonable fish at around 30 or 40 kilos, so they're good.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, yeah, we're planning on trying to get the boat out again pretty soon, so... But I hadn't heard much, and I was like, you know, I'm starting to really gear up for marlin.
I've got going that, up north, yeah.
I've got that massive itch again, yep. The scratch.
Yeah, don't blame you. Looking forward to it. So we'll see. We'll probably end up at Burmy, and yeah, we'll try and get a few myself.
Yeah, we're at this stage, it looks like we're going to be over there for the Australia Day weekend. We're going to fish the comp over there. So there's a few of us heading over that I'm sort of tracking.
Yeah, well, I just haven't planned anything at this stage. But yeah, that's on the cards. If I can swing it, I will with work. So yes, I might join you.
Well, you know you're always welcome, buddy.
Yep.
So all right then. So the boat, what are you fishing out of at the moment?
So what I've got is a Seafarer Victory. It's an old boat. So 1997 model boat, but repowered it going back last year with a 225 V6 Merc. So propped it, got everything right, does, you know, 86 kilometres an hour on the water flat out. So absolutely stoked with it at the moment.
Yeah, awesome. Have you got the door in the side of it yet?
Yeah, the door's in there. Door's all done. So hopefully we can pull in a barrel.
Yeah, I reckon you will. So
yep.
Yeah, nice.
It's either a barrel or a marlin, so either one will do.
Yeah. Why not both?
Yeah, well, mate, if I can get both, I'd be stoked.
Yeah, all right. So any other tips or tricks that you can throw out for us at the moment, mate? Anything that you can think of that is going to help when we come to buying stuff and looking at stuff? Or
at the moment, I mean... As I said, you've got to get used to your unit, number one. Number two, making sure that it's... These days, it's easier than what it used to be with the units, especially with sounders. A lot of people are getting a little bit confused because you're getting some images with some transducers are really big, and the wider the cone angle, the bigger the arch is going to be. And then the guys that haven't got that wide cone aren't getting the arches as big as their mates. So you've really got to understand that, you know, they might be exactly the same fish or size fish, but they will show up differently with different cones. And that's probably the hardest part that trying to get across to people is that, you know, one's a, you know, 20 degree and the other one's a 25. There's going to be a difference between those two cone angles. And then, you know, going deep is completely different again. Using a high wide transducer compared to a low, you're going to get variations in what you see on the screen. And with experience, you know, time out in the water, it makes it easier. Because as you said, you know, different species will show up differently and you can pick that depending on the transducer. So you've really got to understand your unit. It doesn't take a lot. The biggest thing I can give you is that when you do an adjustment, right, and that might be adjusting the gain, you know, two notches, going up two notches, is give it, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. Let it settle. Let it do its thing, and then reassess it after that.
So what is gain, mate? What do you mean by that?
Gain is basically like sensitivity. So it's like the old radios where you used to fine tune it, and yep, that's basically what it is fine tuning the unit. So sensitivity or gain, it's the same thing. So
and that means like when you look at the screen, there's what we call a lot of clutter on it. And you're just trying to trim it down so that you still got the clutter, but it's not taking up the whole screen, basically.
Yeah, correct. And a lot of people, I mean, don't get me wrong, my American colleagues love the gain and have it as high as they can go, basically. So the screen's almost blue with clutter. Personally, I mean, I don't do that. I prefer to have a clearer screen. Yeah, right, you'll get these little blue dots coming up, but as long as you muck around with it and then play with it. As I said, just muck around with it, you know, go up, go down. You'll get to know your unit and where you feel comfortable. It's a personal thing.
Yep. And through hull versus transom mount?
Depending on the hull. If you've got, in my opinion, if you've got a fiberglass hull, I'd go through hull every day. Aluminium boats, transom mount's probably the safest thing because of the two dissimilar metals. Not saying that you can't put through hulls in an aluminium boat, but you've just got to be a little bit more careful on sealing them, making sure that the two different metals don't touch.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, ours is aluminium, obviously, and we're running the through hull, and we haven't had a problem with them at all. They've been excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's a matter of getting it in the right spot. You get the transducer in the right spot, you know, you're laughing. And that's the reason why when you're putting a transom mount transducer on the back of a boat, even in my talks, I always talk about, you know, getting the boat up at about half pace and then going at the back of the transom and sticking your head over the back and finding where the cleanest water is, because every boat is completely different and they'll send off a bubble trail. And the last thing you want to be doing is putting that transducer in that bubble trail. You want it in the cleanest water you can find.
And obviously, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Yep. So 1 kilowatt versus all these others. I know the head units are rated to run 1 kilowatt, but do we need to put in an S5100 or, you know, do we need to do that to get the best out of our transducers? Will a head unit just do that? Or
if you're playing with two transducers, and especially on the Simrads, there's two sonar ports, right? So they will give out a 1 kilowatt pulse. So yes, you can put a 1 kilowatt trans or 2 1-kilowatt transducers on a Simrad NSS Evo 3. If you were going for 3 transducers, that's when that 5100 comes into its own. That's the only time that I'd use a 5100. Fair enough. So, right, and for the guys that are listening, a 5100 is just a sonar module. It will run, or it's capable of running up to 3 kilowatt transducer, where the head unit's only pumping out one. The 5100, the S5100, will pump out 3 kilowatts if you wanted to.
So we can manually make it do 3 kilowatts, or is it set at one or what?
It's set at the transducer capability.
Yeah, okay.
So if the transducer is a 1 kilowatt, that's all it's going to pump out. If it's a 3 kilowatt transducer, that's what the unit will allow it to pump out.
Yeah, okay. So I've been watching some of the big American boats and all that sort of stuff lately up on the Great Barrier Reef and, you know, doing all the grander fishing and everything and getting pretty excited. Yep. But I seen an article It was a little while back now. Ultimate Lady, that yep. That boat from New Zealand, the Big Cat, or Tri-Hull. It's running this new sonar that's like military grade, basically, that's now filtered down to, I won't call them recreational fishermen because they're probably more pro than rec, but that sort of stuff. And it's sending out a 360-degree pulse around the whole boat for like something ridiculous, like 5Ks or something. And they're actually chasing and targeting marlin using that kit.
Yeah. Look, the technology's out there, especially in the commercial market. What we're trying to do is trying to get the best for the recreational market out there. At the moment, you know, looking at that technology is just way outside the realm of a recreational fisherman.
Yeah.
Once it's, you know, once we deem it, you know, that we can bring it in at a reasonable price, then we'll do something down the track. But at this stage, yeah, you're right. It is basically military grade that they're using at the moment, and they've paid phenomenal amounts of money for that.
Yeah, mate.
For that unit.
Yeah. Yep. Phenomenal isn't the word. It's a couple of boats that I've got parked in the garage in radar gear.
Yep. Yeah. Easy. Definitely. So, and that's the thing. Once we can bring it down to a reasonable level that, you know, we're comfortable with, that, you know, the recreational angler will spend that kind of money, yeah, we'll end up doing it as well. But at this stage, I think that's probably at least 5 years minimum away.
Yeah, okay. 5 years. I better start saving now, mate.
I think we both better.
So, all right. So, getting away from the work talk, getting back to the real stuff, the fishing.
Yep.
So, what is on the bucket list for Bill at the moment? Like, what is your bucket list fish? If you could go fishing tomorrow, everyone said, yep, here's the money. You go do whatever you want. Here it is. What is that fish that you want to go and get?
Well, that trip's coming in February.
Am I in I didn't hear anything about it.
No, not yet. It's February. It's Vanuatu chasing GTs at this stage. But we'll also probably go blue marlin fishing while we're there as well, because they'll be there at that time of year as well. So around the middle of Feb is when it's booked. So, yeah, coming up.
So I'm hoping to see some awesome photos of some massive GTs and blue marlin then.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, there's a few of us going over, a few work colleagues and everything else. So, yeah, it should be a good trip.
Yeah, awesome. And the most memorable catch at the moment?
My most memorable catch would be my first trip to Tassie, fishing with a pro staffer of mine, you know, now a really good mate, Mark Watson. Yeah, first time that I met him, jumped on his boat. Within 15 minutes, hooked up to a 127.8 kilo bluefin.
Awesome.
Which, sort of knocked me around a little bit. Yeah, took an hour and 35 minutes. Yeah, awesome catch.
No, it is that, and mate, that is a good fish.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good fish. But, mate, I've had, you know, other good fish, GTs, up to about 30 kilo, you know, marlin. So, yeah, there's been a variety of fish over a long period of time. So,
Fair enough.
But that's the standout.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good. So, what's the plans for next year other than the Vanuatu trip? Like, have you got any other trips planned? Is there anything else sort of that you're going to want to target next year in and around work?
Well, basically, I love Makini fishing. So if I can end up getting, you know, double figures, which I haven't done in Victoria, that's one of the plans, to try and get double figures, as in I don't want rats. They've got to be over a certain size. They've got to be over that meter mark. So if I can get 10 of those, I'd be exceptionally happy.
Yep.
So that hopefully January, February will be the time of year for that. As I said, the Vanuatu trip straight after that. And then, well, if I can throw in, depending on what work wants me to do, a Burmese trip, long weekend, I'll be up there with a couple of the guys and maybe yourself. Come up to March, same thing again, back up to Burmese. And that's as far as I'm planning ahead at this stage.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, mate. I'm hearing you. So, yeah, All right. Well, yeah, mate, really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule and jumping on the podcast. I look forward to catching up with you really soon, actually. I haven't seen you for a while. Obviously, being off jet setting around the world and swanning it. You keep telling me the boat shows, but I haven't seen it. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mate, look, stay safe. And I look forward to catching up soon, buddy.
Not a problem at all, mate. We'll catch up as soon as I get back home and stay home.
Sounds good, mate.
All right. See you guys.